Welcome to the Pictures of Lily podcast, Vintage Edition. I'm your host, Lily Moayeri. I have been a music journalist since 1992, and I interview a lot of music-related people. Originally, this podcast was about my experience behind the story, what my experience was doing the interviews, just to give you a snapshot of what it's like on the other side of the digital recorder. Since 2024, we've shifted to the Pictures of Lily podcast Vintage Edition format, where I'm sharing my experiences about specific interviews with the bonus of original audio from the artists in those interviews. These interviews pull from my 34-year archive, many of which are recorded on cassette tape. Pictures of Lily. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Pictures of Lily podcast, Vintage Edition. This is Year 7, Episode 108. The episode drop date, June 10th, is also the 34th anniversary of my very first piece being published, which was a live review of Blur at the Palace in the summer edition of USC's newspaper, Daily Trojan, also known as Summer Trojan. There are some back episodes of this podcast featuring Blur, with two Vintage Edition episodes with Damon Albarn and another one coming soon. We publish monthly with a new episode posting on the second Wednesday of each month. You can find us on every platform by going to picturesoflily.com, where you can subscribe or follow us and also connect to us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Pandora, Amazon, and Audible. Although it's really best to listen to the podcast straight from the source at picturesoflily.com, as it is the highest quality audio and avoids copyright restrictions. This episode is my second interview with Portishead, specifically Jeff Barrow and Dave McDonald, in 1997. All the stars may shine bright. All the clouds may be bright. Here are a few snapshots of my interview with Portishead's Jeff and Dave. The interview happened in person in New York at their hotel on September 17, 1997. It was over 2 years after I interviewed Portishead's Beth Gibbons for their debut album, Dummy, ahead of their American tour. That interview is episode 85 of this podcast and is a precursor to this one. I suggest checking it out. It is also a big contrast to this one, not just personality-wise, but also a peek into Portishead at the start of their career, and then 2 years after they took the world by storm and had to do it again. Jeff is the one that does most of the talking, and barely a minute into it, we're talking about Noel Gallagher.
I mean, you know, it's not like we're angrier because the perception of the press, especially from the British press, is so based on kind of style, and so trendy, and so kind of trip-off, so kind of film noir, all that kind of stuff. So what kind of journalism do you do in LA?
Maybe only one bad movie.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Have you ever interviewed kind of like some real gangster kind of rap people?
No, I only do the kind of music I like.
Oh, right,
I
so it's down to you. Mm-hmm. Which has been your best interview then?
Noel Gallagher.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Easiest, highest selling. Easiest to do, easiest to write.
Yeah.
Most funny. Most fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, he's a decent bloke, that's fine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's just like everything that comes out of his mouth, you're like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is.
You know, it's cool with him, you know.
No, that's what makes him so serious, you know what I mean? That's what makes him so good. It's like, you get things like, every thing he says is a classic rock quote. You know what I mean? It's like, you can take...
But then there's stuff that I don't, that he says that I don't. Because I think he gives other people more credit than they deserve because he's talking about them. Do you know what I mean? Even if he's like saying bad things about people, I don't think it. Because people will buy their album to see why Noel hates him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm not going to give them that anything.
Yeah. So who'd you say?
And that was at the time.
Yeah, definitely.
He's, I'm sure, slating somebody listening.
Just now?
No.
Got in America, you got to ask, haven't you? Do you mind the police, mate?
I just forget.
Something like that.
No,
then I'm asking them about playing the album live.
When are you guys going to come back to play?
December, possibly New York and LA. Beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So I'm not sure.
Are you playing in Europe and stuff?
Yeah.
I'm going to go back.
No, we're rehearsing. We haven't got sorted on our live stuff yet.
Okay. What was... Because I saw you so long ago, I don't remember what it was like. I just remember the scratching.
Best bit.
It is the best bit. I mean, everybody went away saying that was the best bit.
No, that's it. That's the end of Jeff's head tonight, then.
Yeah. It was in the Legion Hall, which is a terrible place
to play. Well, the sound is really bad. Even if you're a really great band.
Especially if you're playing live. If you're playing on sand, it's a piece of pitch.
It still sounds bad because of the acoustics.
Yeah, I mean, but it's...
But it's worse if you're
playing
live.
If you're playing live, it's a concrete bunker. Yeah, it is a bunker.
But so, what are you planning on doing live this time? Is it going to be the same?
Same vibe, different dreams.
Okay.
You know, we can't, the trouble is, we got all this orchestral stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't know how we're going to go around it. We can take an orchestra with us.
So did you actually have an orchestra in the studio?
Yeah. And we played in Rosen, about a month back, and that was a good orchestra. Mm-hmm. So that worked out really well. It was just the point of, I don't know what we're going to do now, so we're going to have to go and have a think about it. We're supposed to have a meeting, actually, this week, to talk about it in front of.
Do you think you might bring an orchestra?
Yeah, we can't afford it. Old Ferdy would be popping his pants if you found out we were going to do that.
It's like, I'm not going to make any money if we do that.
Even though this was 1997, the millennium was looming, so that became a part of the conversation.
You know, one of the magazines I'm doing this for, I'm doing it for two different places. They always have a theme. And he tried to fax me like the theme sheet, but I was on the internet, so I didn't get through.
All right.
But, and I forgot to get it from him. Well, I didn't forget, there wasn't any time. But the theme is the millennium.
Right.
But he hasn't talked me through it yet, so I wouldn't know how to talk you through it.
Right.
But I guess I'm supposed to relate Portishead to the millennium or put it in that theme.
Yeah.
Or in that context or something. So how do you think you fit in that context?
Well, it's 1997. And it's 3 years away.
Yeah.
That's about it. Really. It's more a point of, I don't know. I don't think it's got to do with time so much. It's more to do with, it could be any time, but I suppose it couldn't be because the music it's been before has affected us, you know what I mean? But. Really, I mean, I think that I've just got this feeling when it comes to the year 2009, I really wanted to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get off on that celebration thing. You know what I mean? It's like New Year's. I always enjoy New Year's, like as it passes. I don't really kind of. Everyone gets together and gets mashed and jumps up and down and does whatever substance and shags and. You know, goes crazy. It just never has that effect on me.
Yeah, I always stay home.
It's like
I stay home like every year.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. The best way for I think it's when you have friends around, you just use it as an excuse to get pissed off with your mates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're having something to eat and you're kind of mucking about rather than kind of in a place really cold with 1,000 people, kind of there for no reason, some kind of statue or. So why go there? Go to a chip shop, you know, at least you could be warm and eat and something.
It's disappointing.
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean, within half an hour, you want to go home, you've got a splitting headache.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Some guys kind of like got leery and tried to knock your head off. You know what I mean? It's like, what is it? It's another year. I mean, you know, it's like, we still really haven't had the kind of like the real crazy millennium kind of gear yet, have we? But perhaps it won't happen. You know what I mean?
I think it's just going to be built up so. Big, but the best is just to stay indoors, really.
Yeah, just close your windows.
Yeah.
It might be
safer. Yeah,
definitely. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of, this millennium thing, I don't know, it doesn't really affect the way that I work, or the way that we work, kind of. It doesn't really have that kind of impact on it. I mean, the world's turning to shit, but it doesn't matter what year it is, it's turning to shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
it might make someone go quick. The only thing that really kind of interests me is that whole kind of thing, all the computer systems.
I was just going to bring that up. That's what they were saying, is they said they might crash because they don't know.
A lot will.
Yeah.
A lot will.
But I think that's more the point that things just won't work. It just, I mean, nothing's going to be fired off like nuclear weapons or shit.
No.
I mean, there might be some massive financial kind of stock market thing, but there's so much money involved in it. I think the American defense and Wall Street are covered.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries ain't taking it seriously enough, especially places like England. Mm-hmm.
I just bought my computer and I
didn't want to
keep it.
What is it?
It's a
PowerPC. What? Max, I have a lifespan of the year 2010 or 2020.
Okay, I don't think I'll keep it until 2010.
Anymore.
I
want to
keep it, I mean...
We like getting the ZX81. Do you know the ZX81?
No.
Because the first well, the ZX80 was the first, it was made by Spectrum,
mm-hmm.
which was the first home computer that had like half a K.
Mm-hmm.
And you type 500 words and it crashed.
Everyone bought one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've got this home computer and I've just wrote this letter to him. Oh, shit. Yours since. Oh.
500 words is just about one page.
Yeah.
I know, because I have 500 word assignments, so it just.
Yeah.
Depending on the font, but, you know, generally.
But it'd be like in a wind-up television at that point, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 2010 or whatever, the technology.
So is it the IBMs that are going to.
Yeah, it's all the
stuff in the 70s that's still running, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, even the early Macs almost had the life of 2010 or 2020 on them. Mm. They thought of that one years ago when they were building it.
It's so just unfortunate when it comes to 2010, that's all.
Yeah, but, you know, by then.
Yeah.
Well, somebody was saying that, you know, when you write out the date, it's just going to be off. Put the zeros there, because zeros like nothing. You put zero, you put nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you do the dates with the slashes. I'm like, I never write the date that way. No, I go to the month, I write out the date for. I'm like, I always write out the day, and then I write out the month, I spell it out, and then I write the full year.
Uh-huh.
I never write like 97, I just put the whole date in.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, why? And I'm like, because. I'm like, I write the date the English way. The English way is like day, month, year.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas American is month, day, year. And so, I don't like that at all. I definitely like day, month, year.
That's
so
kind of changed here a bit, though.
No, it hasn't. It's month, day, year.
Because, I mean, on the passports, on like, your visa forms, you do it the English way. And I can remember.
You get the visa in England, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, when you get your immigration papers, you know, the papers when you actually fly it and stuff, like you hand it to the customs. You do it the English way. And I can remember one of the first times I ever came here, you had to do it the American way, where they send you to the back of the queue again. To that form.
Yeah, but sure, what do they do? They must do it in French. Or something. I mean,
do what?
Is it purely in English that you've got the form? Because if you don't speak English and go into like America, how the hell are you supposed to fill in one of their own forms?
Do they do
them in French and German then?
No, they do them in Spanish for sure, because that's English or second language.
Yeah, because I know when you land in America, they speak to you once in English and then once in Spanish.
But in Canada, it's like French and English.
Yes.
Or English and French, depending on which coast you're on.
Do you speak Spanish, then?
Me, no. No, because I didn't grow up here, so I can understand French, but I can't speak it anymore.
Since I mentioned French, we, of course, had to talk about Daft Punk.
When I interviewed Daft Punk, I made sure they didn't know because they were going to say something about me. I wanted to catch it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they never did. But now they do, only they say it to me in English. Like, we're talking about you, but I guess I know.
Okay. They just went around. They just sat down and kind of went like that for with their masks on.
That's just silly.
Well, no, it's kind of fair enough. I mean, I suppose if they feel that that's why they're kind of like keeping their identity, kind of.
But it's not working. If it was working, it'd be different. Everybody knows what they look like.
Well, I don't know what they look like. I've only seen them in masks.
You'd know them if you saw them. You just know.
Yeah?
Yeah, you just know. One's really tall and thin, and the other one's squat for sure. Kind of a circle and oval.
Yeah.
You'll know. You'll just. It's so Bert and Ernie. Yeah. It's not
Ernie.
It's
really?
Exactly what it is. Because I'm like, I was like saying that, I'm like, that reminds me of something, but I don't know what it is unless it's Bert and Ernie.
You didn't tell him that.
I will not tell. Because I just thought of it now. I would rather, you know, face that in France. Hey, they make enough fun of me. I can call them Bert and Ernie.
Yeah.
You know. They've psyched me off enough so that I can do that.
Are they?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, one of them was telling me last week, I guess, or whatever. He's like, I've only seen you 3 times, but I know exactly what goes on in your head. I'm like, how you do, do you? He's like, yeah, I'm like, what's that? He's like, oh, you know. I'm like, what are you, 19? You're telling me what goes on in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like, you know, younger people being all that presumptuous.
Not that sharp.
Oh, but, you know, how old are you?
25.
Yeah, well, that's not bad. You make music that's more sophisticated than theirs.
Yeah.
Your music's more feminine.
So how's all that kind of death punk and all that stuff been?
I guess it's very fine. I mean, nobody's doing as well as Arjun and Chemical Brothers. But they're all doing, I mean, they're doing better than they would have if they came out, you know, last year.
Yeah, yeah. So they're really hitting new culture, aren't they? That old kind of Chemical Brothers and stuff. But, I mean, the alternative... Yeah.
But you have to keep in mind that the Chemical Brothers basically sound like American heavy metal band.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with the guitars and the whole aggression and everything. Is that, I mean, you know,
what that's...
You mean,
is that the Prodigy?
No, that's the Chemical Brothers. The Prodigy are just more like that aggressive punk thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they've got a front person and they have a lot of money behind them. That's really the main thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, you guys had that kind of success way before this happened. I did, like, when I first heard your album, my God, this is going to do nothing over here. Like, it's, you know, probably the best thing I've heard in the longest time, and it's probably not going to just fall flat. And it didn't.
Yeah,
you're actually more impressive than they are because you did it at a time when it wasn't open to all type of thing. I was shocked. It was like on the radio and everything. It was unbelievable.
We didn't have electronica with us then.
No, luckily. No, I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah, no, no. It would most probably be because we'd most probably sell 2 records now.
Or you're going to have to get some things pierced.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Rock and roll. Looking right.
You know, I can send you to my piercing, yeah, you're very good.
Yeah?
Very antiseptic. Very nurturing. There's 3 of them, they're all very good. They're all good.
Really funny thought by the Keith girl from the metal detector at that
point. No matter what, you're still going to make a noise. Yeah, you don't want to know what that one is.
No, no, exactly.
That was the promo for the MTV Awards. So the guy that was like the host of that, he...
Chris Rock.
Yeah, he kept on like going into different videos and pretending like he was the guy in the video.
Oh right, I didn't see
like
that.
He was pretending to be Jamiroquai and then he was pretending to be Maxim in Prodigy. He had the clothes on, with the attitude, and he was in the video. And he kept on like stretching his hand out to Keith to grab him, you know. And he's like, and then you could see Chris Rock's face in the window, and apparently he's looking at Keith and he's saying, "Put your pants on. Whoa, you got that pierced too." And it's just so funny because we just assume that he does.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so he just said it.
Chris Rock's a funny geezer.
Well, he made fun of absolutely. I didn't watch it when it happened, but I watched bits and pieces of it, and he just made fun of everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he just had no problem. Like the girl that just won the award and just made a speech. He made fun of her entire speech.
Yeah.
And made fun of her, and just, I'm like, oh.
Well, that's understandable when it comes to Fiona afterwards.
Yeah.
Because
I'm like, who is the girl?
It was a weird one. Because, first of all,
she's only 18.
But it was the weirdest thing, right? Because she came up and said to the award, and then she said, you know, in a glittering frog.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds rude, a glittering frog.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Okay.
I've got a sick mind tonight. She got onto the microphone and just went, all this stuff is bullshit.
Mm.
You think you're so cool. I think it's bullshit. You all live in this mad, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And then went, but I'd like to thank my fans because they're so cool. And it was like, what?
Yeah.
What? You know, and she kind of like, and then I saw a video today, and it's just her romping around in kind of heroin-type looking, you know, looking in so incredibly skinny and taking her clothes off and looking all really distressed and kind of... And I just thought, nah, hang on a sec, you know what I mean? Your video's going to be played on MTV. You look like a model out of Face magazine or Vogue or whatever, you know, so what are you on about? People think they're so cool, you know, who are you being styled by, you know what I mean? So, in all reality, if you're going to come true, you know, through it true, then you stick, you know, you're real, you know what I mean? So, just, it's all this bullshit, you know, it's just constant marketing crap, you know what I mean? It just wears you down, you know what I mean? So, it just kind of completely does my nut in, you know. Well, as a musician, you know.
I know, but that's why it was good that you guys did get some kind of recognition and success the last time, because it was despite all that, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't make a pretty video.
No.
You
didn't
make a new video. It was like a disturbing video.
Our new video.
For which track?
For All My. Mm-hmm. MTV America and Europe won't show it.
Why?
Don't know. It's got, hasn't What's got any like nudity. It hasn't got, you know. It looks like a 1968 Italian talent show with a little girl singing Beth's song. Beth's not in it, we're not in it. It looks like a TV show. It's cut really slowly. And it looks like just. It's just a different alternative kind of vibe on it, and you know, it's just really. Have you seen the single? For All Mine. It's kind of the picture off the front of that.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what, I'll turn it to the first one.
Oh, good. How handy.
This is basically. This is a still from the video.
Oh, okay, that's
good. And it's. And I directed it with an old schoolmate.
You did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just her
mm-hmm.
being videoed and just singing this song, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they won't show it.
But Europe won't show it either.
No. Which is really weird. MTV England.
They usually don't mind stuff like that.
MTV England will show it.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's because they're a bit selling artists.
Yeah.
They gave you the
money. But they won't show it. Because they haven't got helicopters and speedboats in it.
And they
make that their cells. We need a Nick and Dom video, don't we?
Uh-huh.
A Nick and Dom video. Dom and Nick video.
Who are they?
They're the ones that did Oasis and Chemical Brothers and Supergrass. He's the guy in Supergrass's brother. They're the new hit video director.
Oh, yeah? Did they do the Oasis one with the helicopter?
Yeah. That's when you said helicopters.
Yeah.
They're actually very good, but they're also, like, the flavor of the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're very talented. I like all the videos they've done. It's just that it's just become such the thing to have a Dominic video.
They're from
He's a super fast brother, yeah.
Well,
Nick is. But I don't know about Dom. I met Nick because of Danny Gordon. I don't
know. Yeah.
Didn't like him.
Yeah. But I think it's not because we're particularly. It's not the point of the selling out or anything, but the video for the third single is going to be a proper video. It's going to be directed by someone who's just a very cool video director. We don't know who yet,
okay.
But we're just looking.
Whose style do you like that video director?
Oh, Spike James.
Who?
Spike James.
Oh,
I see. I think the video's great.
Now we're talking about videos and later tea, and even later the Ronnie Size Represent show that was happening the following night in New York. But we do get back to the music and the show.
Yeah.
There's five videos I like exceptionally, like just for like pure visual mm-hmm. reasons, and not because I like the song great and I like the band. One's The Sundays, Wild Horses.
I haven't seen that.
It's a Josh Taft video.
I've heard of him.
I
haven't heard of anybody. So
yeah, but
he must be a big guy.
I like the sweat for Suede's The Drowners because it's just so good. I mean, it's just them live, but in a circular, really tiny stage.
Ah, right. Yeah.
And it's got like this color to it, and it's just really good. And I like the video for Breathe, but I watch it with the sound turned off because I don't like the quality.
Ah, right. Yeah, yeah.
But it's a beautiful video, and. I like this one. Got me down. Because I mean, if there's only like four or five that actually like I'd say that's a video. I like. And Spike Jones is another one.
I like the way he takes it away from the band. That's what I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because that's what you've already done.
Yeah.
You just wanted to do the same thing, don't you? Well, not the same thing.
Well, it's just a point of not. I just you know, I think Beth's going to be in the next two videos.
Mm-hmm.
But if we plead with her, because
she does not like doing it.
Well, it's just that whole thing. It's just, you know, she doesn't do interviews now, which she's happy about, which is cool. At long last, she's kind of got that vibe across, you know. Mm-hmm. We do photographs, but not in a photo studio with a stylist, you know what I mean, or whatever. We ain't out to prove anything what we look like. You know, if someone takes a photograph of us, we look shit. That's because we do.
Yeah.
So, ain't nothing to prove out there. but we're having the six-pack implants next week.
Oh, how about you? Yes. Is that for my fellowship?
Yeah.
I want to get the right impression.
Yeah. We're all going to be kind of like Peter Andre's of the older world.
Oh, that's
scary.
You're going to have to get a tan, won't you?
Oh, that's all right, you know what I mean?
No,
just a good makeup artist, you know what I mean? So it'd be fine.
Good orange.
Good orange, yeah, that's what it is. Dave, kind of a lot paler, you know what I mean? It's got to
washed out,
that's what usually happens, you know.
It is.
It's kind of like...
Yeah.
All right, go, black person.
I've dealt with one of them before. Right, yeah, we'll do this.
Well, we use the darkest white person's colour. It's like your wife and you got your arms, you know?
Yeah, it's like... It's ridiculous, because there's only one guy in England who's really, really specialises in that and TV.
Yeah.
What, in black makeup?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Just one guy with all the black people?
Yeah, he's like... Well, you don't have that many black people on TV, really.
No.
You don't?
No.
You have,
I guess you don't.
You know, not as presenters or anything like that. And you've got Trevor MacDonald, but they've done a job on
They've done a job on him. They always do a job on everyone. There are plenty of black people on television, but they always do a job on them. They always look proper, just not right.
You haven't got the cosmetics. Mm. You can't go into, say, like something like Devlin's or whatever. Or not that I'm into cosmetics.
But if you were.
Yeah.
You wouldn't really have a choice, would you?
No, I wouldn't. It would have to be that sort of whiter shade of pale.
Yeah.
Darker shade of pale.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you should have to do it if you don't want to. It just kind of seems a bit silly, isn't it?
What's that?
Just doing interviews. It's what I do, but it seems to... Well, I mean, it's something you listen to.
No, it's good to talk. It's good to talk to people. That I mean, when we've been kind of strapped in the studio for kind of 2 years, and we can come out and specifically talk to people who love music and who actually like our album and want to know about it. That's really, really important for us, you know.
Yeah.
Because you just feel like, you know, we don't go out to parties. We don't surround ourselves with people going, "Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, the textures." You know what I mean? It's not, you know. So it's just nice. It's not so we want to hear great praise about the record, but it's nice to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we spend, you know, kind of a third of our time in the studio talking.
Hmm.
You know, well, half of our time talking. So...
Bob, do all four of you do it together?
Yeah, Beth works at home. She's got her own little studio.
Okay. I interviewed her last time.
Did you?
First ever interview she did on the
run. Was it?
She was fine, though. I was, like, looking at the notes.
Yeah.
To see what it was, because it was so long ago, and I'm like, she actually did talk a lot.
Yeah, it's not the point of that. It's more the point of kind of like, she got really, I think there might have been one or two that were just really uncomfortable, one in Europe, where it kind of like had her down as some kind of like...
Is she more comfortable if she does them with the rest of you? Like, if she's going to do them at all?
No, I think she just prefers not to do them at all. I mean, she just feels like representing herself on the music enough, so
yeah.
That's cool with us. I mean, you know, if we don't want, she can do photographs.
But so does she start it first and then bring it to you guys, or do you do things separately? How does it work?
No, we write our music first, and then it goes to her. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it works the other way. It happened twice on the record where she had a song and then we worked on it, but. Most of the time, it's always the tunes first, and then she sings like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, but makes it difficult for her, I suppose, because then she can just create out of thin air, you know.
Yeah.
Where we can.
Right.
So it does make it difficult for her, but I think, you know, it's a challenge to her. I think she kind of enjoys that, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially if we turn around and just said, no, this backing track is, we really got to have it because it's. You know, if you can write a song over it, it'd be so amazing because we really are into it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, when she's pushed like that, it's really good, you know?
Yeah. But, so what do each one of you do? She just writes the lyrics.
She writes the lyrics.
And what do you do?
And then she writes the melody as well.
Oh.
So, sit in the studio, smoke fags, drink tea. What watch the boats come in.
What kind of tea?
proper tea.
English breakfast tea.
English breakfast. Well, it's called English breakfast tea, but it's just called tea in England.
But then you can have washing up.
Washing up
your
liquid
tea.
Is
so much better than it.
Yeah,
you have Lipton's here, don't you?
Yeah, but it's, the thing is, not big tea drinker anyway, but it's like a comforting kind of thing. Mm. Well, my family's Persian, so we're like, God, our tea is way overworked.
Yeah.
We're like, we exist on tea. We have samovars that are on all day long.
Yeah.
So we can drink tea. We don't dilute it with that milk either.
No, no.
Proper loose tea drinkers. Yeah. I didn't like that. I mean, I just don't like tea very much. But if I do deep drink tea in England and I want to come back here and drink it, I can't.
It's a weird taste.
So they've sent me tea. Typhoon.
Have they?
Yep.
Excellent.
Excellent tea. It's been like Typhoon.
Yeah,
I never drink it there.
Typhoon's a good tea.
Or Puget
Yeah.
But Typhoon's very, very nice.
Well, it's just the norm, you know, standard. You go anywhere and it'll be Typhoon.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's much better than
that
Lipton's.
Oh, yeah, Christ.
That doesn't even give the water any colour.
No. You've got to wait half an hour and then the water's cold, you know what I mean? It's like, where do we go then?
But I feel like I got to watch a kettle, stay in there too long. And
but as what we do...
Where's the studio that you're watching the boats?
Oh, no, it's in Bristol.
Okay.
And then we don't see any boats, we just see crazy people.
You ever see Ronnie?
Yeah, he comes down then again, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
I have to supervise him tomorrow. Excited about
that. He's nice, Ronnie. Our drummer Clive plays for Ronnie.
Oh, does he? Is he going to play tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Side John plays in bass.
Are you going to be here tomorrow? Are you going to come?
Yeah.
You're going to come to the show?
Yeah, definitely. Oh. We saw him in London. Dave's seen him twice. We saw him in London and Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's good. It's a heavy show. If he gets the right PA, it's a heavy, heavy show.
Well, the place they're playing is quite small, so it should be good.
Quite small.
Well, small meaning like...
Where is it?
El Flamingo.
Have you been there before?
Yeah, I went there 2 weeks ago.
What's it like?
Small. Just like a couple of...
How many capacity?
I don't know. Do you know how many it fits?
Yeah.
El Flamingo?
No. I didn't
notice that.
I thought it was
a summer club.
We put supper club at. That was really weird.
That was just proper. I think. I'm pretty sure it's at El Flamingo. I hope it's
not. That was about 3 years ago.
That was proper industry.
It's got upstairs and downstairs. You know, so you can...
That was supermodels. That was supermodels, Madonna and a mate.
Well, it's super supper club.
Yeah.
I remember that game.
30 mates. She turned up with 30 mates.
Did any of them pay to get in?
Well, none of them got in. We turned them all away.
So, but go ahead. What you're saying?
Okay. I write the music, the beats, produce the album with all of us. Co-produce and produce the album. Just basically write the music, you know, mainly it's me and Age, we write the musical side. And Age plays a lot of the live instruments, play the drums as well. I kind of mainly do most of the beat programming space. And I do the scratches. And
Dave
engineers by the way. Yeah. But we all swap over jobs as well, so I mean, Dave will be on an Echo, I'll be pushing record, and, you know, we all know how to use a desk. We don't employ programmers to program music for us on £500 a day.
Mm-hmm.
We all take pride in knowing how things work and doing it ourselves. I don't particularly believe in that style of making music. A lot of people do, I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. A does a lot of the horn arrangements, plays guitar, bass. And we all kind of, we all produce it together. We all talk for hours and hours about one little sound until we hear it so many times it doesn't make no difference what it sounds like. We all have the combined stress. We also run Port with Ed ourselves in the sense of everything that we do goes through us, whether it be from start off its videos, and it might end up with artwork to releasing a B-side on a French single, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that takes an awful lot of time, as well as doing the music, really. when we play live, I do the decks, Dave's the live engineer, we all work on the sound again. Adrian plays keyboards.
So you're not on stage, you're...
No.
Oh, you're doing sound. I'm never on stage. But that's the best thing you can have, though, to have a person with
good... Oh, yeah, absolutely. Christ, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
plays guitar, Mini Moog, which is like a synth. Then we have Clive, Jim and John come in as a live thing as well, which are kind of not just session musicians that want to be like Steve Vai and play a rock solo in the middle of everything, which you hear on so-called kind of cool bands, you know what I mean? They've all played on the record and they all understand the concept of the sound, which is hugely important. John is an accomplished kind of jazz musician, you know what I mean? An amazing piano player, but sometimes he might be just hitting one note and letting an echo go, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So everybody's incredibly conscious of creating a general one thing, you know? That's about it. I mean, pretty much in the studio, like I said, we all cross over jobs. We all pretty much go through the pain of it. That's why it's changed in the sense of we've come out and doing interviews as a band now instead of just myself and Beth. That was like a massive mistake that was on our part. No.
But I mean, the rest of them weren't considered a band then at that time, were they?
Pardon?
Wasn't it just considered a duo at that time?
It was, yeah, but that's the trouble. I mean...
But you weren't really a duo.
No, we were all... I mean, Aidan and Dave would put the same amount of energy into Dummy. I worked with Dave for 6 years, I worked with Dave for 5 years, 4 years.
Yeah, because when I did talk to Beth, she mentioned you two as much as she mentioned her. You know, that's how I'm like, what are these other guys?
Yeah, exactly. It was a big... No, it was a big mistake. And it's not because they come... It's not like they're doing interviews now to get famous.
Mm.
It's just for recognition. When you put kind of 5 years and 6 years for Dave of time into a project, and then you see a review, like we had a review in Q magazine recently, and it's just like... And Jeff Barrow does this, and he plays the guitar, and he plays the bloody spoons, and do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, and it's for me, it's just incredibly embarrassing, and for Damon, it's incredibly frustrating. You know what I mean? Not to get the recognition he deserves, you know. So that's the reason we're changing it. But it's amazing. We've sat down with journalists in England. We sat down with journalists in America. You know, and pieces have come out in the press. We've sat down. We've all talked. Pieces have come out in the press, Beth and Jeff. It's like...
This is the second time around.
Yeah, but these, you know, with Dave and Aid involved. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of like, were they invisible? You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's just like...
It's random and awkward.
Yeah, fucking right. It's like, bizarre, you know, but suppose it's just an easy option.
Oh, I remember they just missed it the first time.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if they do write that, it is still our fault. Mm. You know.
Next album, maybe.
Well, no, we're doing it now, you know what I mean?
I know, no, just, next time maybe it'll sink.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, on the
semi. It'll be a long process.
It will be a long process, and it's difficult, because especially if, you know, Aidan and Dave are in New York, you know what I mean? Instead of being at home with their families or whatever, and you know, you're part of an interview and all of a sudden it's kind of like the piece comes out and it's like you weren't even there. It's like,
but the first thing on your press release is actually announcing that.
Yeah,
which I didn't even know it, so I was that
no, that's what I'm saying, it's really good.
Yeah,
it's really good. But I mean,
like, we're four people now.
Hello.
But I think today
we've mated.
Today was like really good. I mean,
it was.
I got the writers saying that I'm really, really pleased to talk to Dave and Adrian and
Shopping. Well, I wanted to after I spoke to Beth last time. I wanted to talk to them more than I wanted to talk to you, because she kind of told me what you're doing. And I'm like, well, you know, now I'm more interested in knowing what these
people are doing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's where we left it. I had a good time with Jeff and Dave, and it sounds like they liked me, but at certain points, we talk about other people more so than Portishead. There are three different versions of this interview in print that were published in Surface Magazine, Soma Magazine, and Hits Magazine. You can access those print versions via the paid tier and the founding members tier of the Pictures of Lily newsletter. The Pictures of Lily newsletter goes out every couple of weeks, and you can subscribe to it for free. For my paid subscribers, I am posting bonus newsletters that include print-only interviews from my 34-year archive, including classic ones from the 90s, with a cross-section of people from The Cure to Oasis, Blur, The Verve, Portishead, Daft Punk, Lily Allen, and more to come. For founding members, there are additional interviews with Noel Gallagher, Damon Albarn, Richard Ashcroft, and more Daft Punk. I will link the Pictures of Lily newsletter in this podcast if you'd like to subscribe to it for free. Any paid subscriptions to the Pictures of Lily newsletter go straight to supporting the production of this always free podcast. For myself and my co-producer and editor, Lauren Schroeder, thanks for listening. And if you have a chance to subscribe or follow the podcast on any of the podcast platforms, please do so and please rate and review. You can connect to us on picturesoflily.com, and from there you can choose your preferred podcast platform or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or Pandora or Amazon. You can also find the playlist for the podcast episodes on Spotify and YouTube. Thanks for listening. Pictures of Lily.